Welcome into the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio show, and our guest today, very special guest, is Carla Smith, the Executive Director. Carla, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, you and I are both working from home along with your staff, and we're all sick of it, aren't we?
Yeah, it's getting a little old. Missing some people.
Yeah, that's the bad part of this, of course. Well, before we get into all that, why don't you tell folks the premise of Rise Up Reno Prevention Network and, of course, the former name, so people still associate what you do with that group, even though you've changed the name quite a while ago.
It has been a while. We were formerly Communities That Care, and we're now Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. We do drug and alcohol prevention for youth. We work with all kinds of different entities, from adults to youth to children, just to spend time letting them know that they have potential and abilities and that they can make good choices and stay out of trouble and avoid, you know, drugs and alcohol and other bad choices.
So, Carla, this radio show is meant to inform the public and the listeners out there. If folks have a suggestion or want to know more about the program, even though you're not in the office, there are still ways to reach out till you're still functioning. How do people do that?
Well, we have a website. It's riseupreno.org, and we have all of our contact information there. There's icons to go to our social media. We are on Facebook a lot. We have been on Twitter and Instagram. We're just trying to let everybody know we're still here and we're still doing an important job. And we want to make sure that people know that they have a hand in drug and alcohol prevention, and they want kids to grow up safe, and we do too. So check out all of the information we're putting on social media. Come to our website. You can email us from there. We'd be glad to hear from you.
So a lot's happened since we talked last week, Carla. And for instance, on Thursday, the president kind of implemented some plans to open the economy back up, kind of get things rolling. It looks like it's going to be fairly slow. But, Carl, I'm not saying we're through this because we're not. But maybe
right.
We are over the first hump or getting into the first phase of reopening. So maybe that's changed our attitude a little bit, that there's a little light at the end of the tunnel, maybe a little closer than it was before.
I think it is getting closer, and that is exciting. It was a little scary when we first started staying home, you know, what's going to happen, what's going on. But I think that we lowered the curve here in Kansas a lot, and we have seen, you know, there have been some sad situations where people have passed away, but not near as many as we expected. And I think that, you know, we're going to get back to business as usual. Somewhat as usual. Things are going to change, but I think we're going to get there. We do see a light at the end of the tunnel, so that's exciting.
So the school district has not put out any definitive plans yet. I mean, I think this school year, you know, it's just going to be what it is. Have you heard
right.
anything in the last couple of days about, you know, the fall semester starting on time? Has that been discussed yet, or is it just too early to know?
Well, I'm sure they're discussing it. I'm sure that they are making some plans, but I did see that, like getting your kids enrolled for early Head Start and for kindergarten is being recommended right now. I think they're still in the process of hiring people for positions for next year. So, you know, business is going on somewhat as usual, with the expectation that they're going to be back to somewhat of a normal by fall. But there's just no way to tell. They just don't know for sure, but we still have to keep moving, you know, forward. We can't get behind because there's a lot of kids that they serve and a lot of families that, you know, need to be able to jump back in with 2 feet when it's time to do that.
So, Carla, people may say, well, why is John asking Carla about the school system? Obviously, you and I both know there's, well, if there weren't the school system, you probably wouldn't have a program because you're directly linked with all the schools in Reno County.
We are very fortunate to be linked with the schools, and we enjoy working with the kids so much. We have great parents and great teachers and great administration at the schools. So they give us a real big opportunity to get in there and get to know their kids and give them some skills and help them find out what they need and help them out with drug and alcohol prevention. And we are located in the 308 School District Administration Building. So when we have our offices, that's where we're at on Plum Street. Right now, we're all at home. We have a staff of four of us, and we're working from our homes and being safe and keeping our families safe right now. But it looks like Governor Kelly is going to let us go back to our somewhat to our mainstream life. It's beginning of May, so we'll be back there before you know it.
Yeah, and of course, we'll abide by the restrictions and social distancing, maybe have to wear masks for a little bit of time when we first go back to work. But unfortunately, with the school year ending, the interaction, the camaraderie with the students, with each other, and of course, your staff, is just not there like it used to be. I know that your whole staff is trying to reach out, you know, to some of these students that are still participating as best they can. But it's really lost time, Carla, that can never be brought back. It's very unfortunate, but we don't really have a choice. So I know that you guys are doing all you can as a staff to help these kids.
Well, I'm excited that, you know, people have managed to make make the best of it, and our kiddos have done that as well. Our youth, our high school youth, are still meeting, I think, twice a week on Zoom, and sometimes their parents are in the background, and they have great ideas as well, and the high school kids are working on putting together some presentations to talk to the sixth grade classes, and they're going to do that over Zoom. They all meet with their teachers at least once a week in the 308 district. And I think that a lot of the younger classes are doing that as well. But they're getting it set up. Our kids are getting it set up so that we can get in there and spend some time with the sixth graders and help them just get, you know, get ready for seventh grade and ready for the changes that they're going to go through just naturally and normally going from grade school to middle school. So that's a really exciting activity that we get to do every year. So it'll be interesting to do it over Zoom and get to see the kids. And I think they're going to do some activities and some quizzes and have like a game show type situation going on. So that should be interesting. I'm very proud of them. They're doing a lot to keep going.
Well, that sounds good. And Carla, for those kids that are, oh, maybe in the Buehler District or in Fairfield, Haven, I mean, name your district. It's maybe not quite as organized as 308, but there's help for those students as well, right?
That's right. We are glad to offer parenting programs for different parents in different situations who maybe are having a struggle with just having kids at home all the time and being at home together all the time. So we have some programs that we can get out information about that. We also try to, you know, offer the high school kids here at this at our high school to get out and meet with the high school kids at the other districts. Several of them, I believe, already have leadership programs and are already doing a lot of community service activities. And it's interesting that our kids can learn from their kids and vice versa. So that's a lot of fun. We like to get out there and help them make sure that they're getting the data from the surveys that we put out every year. Every year there's a Kansas Communities That Care survey that goes out to all the kids in 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th grade. And the data that comes back from that, that's processed by statisticians in another area that do this professionally. And then they send the data to us. And we get to share that with the schools and kind of talk to them about what's trending and what they need to focus on and just what's going great and what they're really doing a good job with. So that's fun to get together with administration and talk to them about those. And we should have survey results coming out from this last winter. Will be the 2020 survey information coming out shortly.
Well, and we'll look forward to you disseminating that for us. And, of course, you've referenced those numbers in the past on many shows. So we'll look forward to that. And again, you're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio show. We're visiting with Carla Smith. She is the executive director. So find them on riseupreno.org and, of course, their social media pages. And Carla, how is the staff doing? Obviously, they can't do it like they were. Again, none of us can because we're not at our offices and doing the normal things per se. Right. Is your staff getting grumpy? Or are they happy? Or are they everybody doing okay? Or are they a little frustrated?
I think we're all getting into a groove right now where we're doing okay. It was a little difficult at the beginning. And then, you know, just that transition of having the whole family at home makes it a little difficult to stay on task. But we're meeting online like 3 times a week just regularly to kind of have a staff meeting and check in and make sure that everybody's got what they need. And then we're also meeting like 2 or 3 of us at a time off and on throughout the week and with other people, other agencies, other nonprofits. And so that's been interesting to hear what other people are doing. And we meet together with a group of coalitions who all do drug and alcohol prevention throughout the state. And we get to meet with them once a week. So we're doing pretty good at staying up to date on what's going on. And all of our funders are keeping a pretty good eye on us and wanting to make sure that we're doing something that's productive. So we're having a lot of meetings, a lot of trainings, and still, you know, just doing a lot of reporting, those types of things.
Did you hear my dogs barking in agreement?
I did. I kicked my dog out. It's different when you do this at home, isn't it?
Well, they were just doing wonderful, and I'm not sure what set them off, so my apologies for that. But, hey, it's live. What do we think is going on here?
That's right. That's all right.
Yep. So, you know, it's too soon to have any statistics over the last 6 weeks. What's going on with, you know, our kids at homes, you know, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, unfortunately physical abuse. I mean, I have heard a few things about domestic violence. Perhaps mm-hmm. being on the rise during this time. Hopefully that's not overshadowing all the great, you know, unity that families are in right now, because there's a lot of great things happening. Have you heard anything about, you know, some of these things you're trying to prevent creeping up or any of those numbers coming out? Have you seen anything yet?
We really aren't seeing any numbers or data about that yet. We are trying really hard to keep the message out that, you know, it's okay to get down during this time or to feel lost or have some anxiety. But there's healthy ways to deal with that. And we want to help young people, especially. We want to help those teenagers really have some other ways to cope and to just even to have their own space, but without turning to drugs or alcohol or, you know, harmful behaviors. We don't want to see people getting depressed. I'm sure that that's, you know, something that people are definitely, you know, going to be struggling with when they're, especially people who are extroverts and really want to be around people and want to be out doing things. So, you know, we're all going to have some struggles, and some of that could turn serious, but right now we're just doing the best we can to get positive messages out and encourage people to check on each other, check on your grandparents, check on your friends, make sure that people are doing okay. If they need something, be there, listen to them. We're recommending that people spend some time video chatting or talking on Messenger or somehow so they can see each other and just get some interaction. I think that's important that people get to, you know, see that they're not alone in the world, even if they may be in a strange office at their kitchen table all alone for the day. But, you know, there's other things going on. So we encourage people to stay in touch and take good care of themselves.
Well, that's good advice. And let's just hope that the numbers, you know, don't show any drastic problems through
right.
all this. That's the hope that we'll have.
Right.
Some things are going to continue on. And do you want to talk about Match Day? Your organization depends on people, well, first of all, grants, but of course, people just giving to the program itself. And that, there's an opportunity coming up, I think.
Yeah, we are excited to be participating in Match Day. Raleigh, Reno County is supporting that. You go to iHeartHutch.org, which is the Hutchinson Community Foundation, and they have a place that we can get donations. You can make donations on May 5th from midnight to midnight, and all of those donations are eligible to be matched. So if we get $100, then, you know, the community foundation has a pool of match money that they could match that up to $100. And so anyway, up to $12,000 can be donated or matched that day. So we hope that we would get $12,000 and have a match of $12,000. But it's really exciting because that's extra money that goes into the community, and it really helps out the nonprofits who are struggling right now. And I think there's 33 nonprofits listed on there. So you could donate, you know, $10,000 and give $1,000 to each of your top 10 favorites or your top three favorites and $500 to each of the others. So you can choose who you want to donate to. But of course, we're asking people to donate to us so that we can continue to do drug and alcohol prevention and really make a difference for our kids, which makes a difference for our young adults, which in turn helps them to grow up to be positive and successful workers in our community and, you know, just gives us a more successful community. So, yeah, we're excited about Match Day, May 5th, 12 to 12.
Do you happen to have any statistics with you? I didn't ask you to do that for this program, but one of the questions I want to ask you is, yes, we know it's important for these children to not even try drugs or alcohol. We are certainly not naive enough to know that they don't try it on occasion, and not every kid does. But I know in the past you've given some statistics that if a child does try these things, really the road down the road is not as promising for a child who maybe is steered in a different direction.
That's true. Kids who try, I know alcohol, off the top of my head, kids who try alcohol before the age of 15 are 60%, I think it's 57.7%, more likely to have drug and alcohol issues or addiction issues as adults. So it's not just that they're more likely to become addicted, which they are more likely because their brain is still developing, that frontal lobe of the brain and decision making and, you know, getting attached to something like a substance is more likely when they're young. But also as they get older, it's harder to break that habit, and it's more likely to affect their lifestyle as far as, you know, kids, you know, young people and adults who use alcohol or drugs are more likely to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, to be involved in crime, to get tied up with the police and the judicial system. And then, of course, also there's, you know, drug and alcohol issues that can affect their daily life for forever.
Well, and of course, as you've talked many times before, parents setting the example for, you know, good behavior certainly starts at home. And hopefully those parents are doing that a good job as they, you know, get through this pandemic and being at home and trying to juggle work and having all the family at home. Hopefully they're doing okay as well.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this is a great time to really spend a lot of time with your kids. And, you know, we're not saying that adults can't have alcohol in their homes. It's totally legal and they can do that. But we hope that they're showing responsible ways to use alcohol and that they're not drinking all day and, you know, definitely not offering it to their kids. And, you know, just that they're making good choices and setting a good example. And when young people get to be 21, if they choose to drink, that is certainly legal. But we sure don't want them to start before then. And even at that age, their brain's not completely developed, and it's still risky. So, you know, we want to encourage young people to wait. And, you know, just getting them to wait is really going to make a difference in how they're going to handle drugs and alcohol the rest of their lives.
Carla, talk about vaping and tobacco and things of that nature. That's, you know, it might perhaps be a little more accessible. You've got maybe, I think the age now is 21 to buy those products, right?
That's right. Yes, it is.
So basically any of those things, you've got to be 21. But not every retailer, they're supposed to be carding. I think it's gotten much better. But, you know, look, it still slips by. Maybe there's an 18-year-old buying that stuff for 16-year-old kids. And, you know, that behavior is not acceptable.
No, it is definitely not. It is not legal until age 21. And by 21, you know, young people's brains are much more developed than they are at 18 and way a lot more than they are at 16. So we hope that by then they're going to make good choices and know that it's just a bad habit to start. It's bad for your health. It's bad for your lungs. It's bad for your stamina and your energy. It's just, it's not healthy. We don't know for sure how bad the vapes are. As time goes on, we'll find out more and more, just like we did about smoking cigarettes over the last 50 or 60 years. So, you know, as time goes on, we'll find out that, you know, how dangerous they are. And I hope that, you know, kids never start. But, you know, if they did, maybe this is a good time for them to quit, because they're at home, because their parents are there to support them, because it's not as available if they're not out and about. And that it's 21, we shouldn't have as many young people, you know, that are still in high school that can get their hands on it. So hopefully that's really going to drop this year. It was very high last year. It had doubled from the year before, the use of electronic cigarettes, so, or vapes, or Juuls, whatever they call them. But hopefully we're going to see that go down this year. And that, I think that's kind of exciting. So we'll just have to wait and see what the statistics show us.
And Carla, I'm thinking since the feds basically took away a lot of these flavors on these different vaping products and e-cigarettes, that I would think would certainly help as well.
I think that does help. I just, they didn't take away all of the flavors that, they took away the flavors that are available in the disposable electronic cigarette, you know, nicotine delivery devices, but they didn't take away the ones that are available in custom, you know, vape shops, those types of places. I think what's really going to help is that you have to be 21 to get your hands on it. So, you know, by the time you're 21, you're old enough to make that decision. It's legal then. You know, I have nothing against that industry of people who are doing it legally, but, you know, we sure don't want to see them targeting kids. And I think that's what we saw with the disposables like Juuls and Vuse and those types of, you know, the ones that you could just get over the counter at the convenience stores. They had lots of fruity flavors and came out with those kinds of things. And now they're down to just tobacco and maybe menthol.
So, Carla, as you try, I know your main role is kind of to manage the whole, you know, the whole business aspect of Rise Up Reno, but are your other staff members, as well as you, what are they hearing from the students that they're able to contact and communicate with? Are they doing okay as well?
Some of them really got off to, you know, a startling start, especially those seniors who are missing out on prom. They miss their track season, their softball or their baseball season. They're not sure what's going to happen for graduation. You know, that was a big shock. But I think they're making the best of it. I think they're enjoying time with their families, and a lot of them are, you know, staying in touch and spending time doing activities through, you know, school activities and our youth leadership group activities. And I think there's church groups that are staying connected. And I think they're doing good. I think they're doing all right.
Well, that's good. When we had Dave Sotelo, one of your staff members, on, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, he made a big effort to remind people to eat a little healthier. I know that I should take that advice as well, with that big stainless steel refrigerator that I'm looking at with all the goodies in there. But, you know, fresh greens and just eating a little healthier every once in a while would probably help. He was pretty high on that, Carla.
Yeah, he's a good kid. I shouldn't say he's a kid. He's an adult. But I knew him when he was a kid, so it's kind of stuck. He's a good guy, and he really does want what's best for everybody, but especially for those young people that are in his leadership group. He reminds them all the time that they need to take care of themselves and get enough sleep and be on a schedule and eat healthy and get some exercise. So, yep, those are all great, great things to remember and hard to remember right now. So we got to remind ourselves.
Good advice. Well, we've got about a minute left in the show, maybe one more plug for Match Day, and then all the ways we can connect with Rise Up Reno.
All right, riseupreno.org. We're always there 24 hours a day. There's places to leave us messages and get on our social media, and we have lots of great advice and great tips on our social media, so check that out. There's also information there about Match Day, which is Tuesday, May 5th from midnight to midnight. That's the day that you can donate money, and it goes directly to the nonprofit that you choose. The majority of it goes to our endowment funds, which is a way to say that you want this agency and organization to stay around for a long, long time. So we hope that everybody will get out and donate on Match Day. Actually, you don't have to get out. You can do it at home now. It's online. So that's May 5th at iHeartHutch.org. And check us out on RiseUpReno.org. And we'll be here if you need us.
Carla, always a pleasure. Thanks for the great information. We'll do it again next week. And have a good rest of your weekend. And thanks so much for your time.
All right. You too. You take care of those dogs back there, okay?
Yes, we corralled them, got them under control. But Carla, okay. Take care. We'll do this again soon.
Good job. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You bet. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio show. We'll see you right back here next week.